אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר תלמוד עשר הספירות לפני שנתחיל רצית להוסיף
We're studying from the study of tests before we wanted to add something
just following the previous lesson I'm asking of everyone of all of our friends in all the world to try and see whatever we're learning in the wisdom of Kabbalah in general in to try and see it in the parzuf as we drew of course this drawing is a very very how can I say Well, it's more of the first drawing that I drew, but we need to understand that the actions need to be in accordance to the laws of the wisdom of Kabbalah. In that drawing, in the partzuf, there is no more than a single partzuf, and there is no more than a single Adam, and everything else. Whatever it seems to this Adam, to this person that he sees outside of him as a group, as humanity, as all of reality, as the entire world, inside of him is the Creator. Meaning, at the end of the day, what a person attains, he attains himself truly in adhesion with the Creator. So look at this drawing. With everything that we read, everything we speak of, imagine it inside that drawing. Ah, look what they did in Zichron today. Natanya's in Zichron. Ah, well, nice. Okay. Go on.
So we learn from the study of Ten Sefirot, part 6. We are in item
10.
You want to read from 9? We can read from 9.
We'll begin from item 9. The order of cause and effect, item 9. The ninth operation is the expansion of Malchut with the returning light in her from above downward into Toch and Sof. It extends from the Masach in Malchut of the Rosh. She is considered moving from potential to actual. Because the same measure of rejection and measure of hitlabshut, clothing, that emanated by the force of the masach in the ten sefirot of Rosh, were only in potential. In fact, there are neither rejection nor clothing there. Rather, everything that is done in the ten sefirot of Rosh, in potential, manifests later in the Toch and Sof called Guf in actual fact. The measure of the light that the returning light clothed in the Rosh in potential, in that same measure the upper light is found to clothe in the Guf de facto. This clothing is called the Toch of the Guf from Pe to Tabu. The Bchinot Siyum that the Masach made in the Ten Sefirot of Rosh in potential, meaning the Bchinat Haka'a, the aspect of beating, it made on the upper light and not letting it expand into Bchinat Daled, appears in the Guf de facto, from Tabul down to Siyum Raglin. This is called the Sof part of the Partzuf. Thus, from Siyum Raglin of the Partzuf downward, the middle point appears in actual fact, as the Masach stops the upper light there altogether and leaves a vacant space without light. Hence, the Prinat Toch of the Guf is considered the position of the first nine Sefirot, and the Prinat Sof of the Guf is regarded as Sefirat Malchut alone. Meaning, the Prinat limitation and power of Siyum in her. Thus, the ninth operation and the tenth operation have been explained. These are the expansion of Malchut from above downward, from Toch to Toch and Sof, called Guf, and the point of the Siyum of the Kav, the line, under which it is darkness and not light, both activated by the Masach of Rosh.
That there are such desires that we are incapable of restricting them, doing a tzimtzum on them. And they are below. We're just not using them. But it's not that we're not using because we want to make upon them a masach or chozer to be in sanctity. We know that in these desires we will be in order to receive. There's a difference. Listen up. There's a difference between the desires that I make a restriction upon, or tzimtzum, and don't want to use, and then I'm in adhesion. It's like being sitting by the table, and on the table there are all these different types of foods, and I say, I don't want to use them due to adhesion. And there are desires which I can't use, because if I'll even touch them, to an extent it will be in order to receive. I can't say that I'm even near them on the table. I take them out of my area completely. That is considered that they are below siyum raglin. In other words, these are vessels of the will to receive for oneself without a masach called halal. And we're not talking of them. But you see, here he did exactly in accordance to what we spoke last lesson, and in relation to the drawing I did.
Can get an example for something that is under the siyum and something that's in the sof?
I'm on a diet, right? So I can go to a store and I can buy different types of foods and not eat them. Because I'm not allowed to. There are foods that I can eat partially. The part that I eat is the toch. The part that I don't eat is the sof. And then there are foods that I can't touch at all. They're in me, these desires, but I don't touch them. I don't touch them. This is below the siyum. You can't even use them with rejecting them. I can't equalize myself to the Creator through them. There are desires that I use in order to bestow, to give. These are desires of bestowal. And there are desires through which I can't bestow upon them. To receive, I can't in order to bestow. To bestow, in order to bestow. Meaning, they are in my sof. And there are desires which I mustn't touch. I mustn't. They are the desires that I'm not using. And you can say, maybe wait, in the next parasuf you might. We'll talk about that. It's not simple. It's best, it's easiest to say that only in the end of correction we will use them. During the Shvira they awaken. We'll see. Yes.
The desires that are below the siyum raglin are restricted?
No, if they were restricted, then I would use them in the sof of the parzuf, to an extent.
So what are they? How do they come there if they're restricted?
The tzimtzum is multifaceted. There is the tzimtzum that I can restrict in the Rosh, and I can use them in the Toch and the Sof. And there is tzimtzum that I sought them and I say, I'm not using them. It's not that I use the desires, I restrict myself from using them. Listen to the words here, to the wording. Guys, I can't talk anymore. Let's read.
Should we read 10 or 9 again?
10.
Item 10. Thus the cause and consequence through the elucidation of Partsuf Aleph of Ak has been explained, called Partsuf Gelgalta of Ak. Now, we shall explain the elucidation of the five Partsufim of Ak from one another by way of cause and consequence.
That truly it's one Partsuf, or it's the same Malchut of Insuf. That she is gradually multiplying herself in ways of bestowal. That truly all these Partsufim are a single Partsuf that constantly improves and improves and improves as much as possible with more inner discernment, because it becomes experienced with the Reshimot, with everything he has, Tanta. And that's how he advances. Go on.
First, we shall explain the causes for the birth of a Partsuf in general, meaning as it is in all the Partsufim equally. And then we will explain the particular Partsufim. The first cause in the birth of a Partsuf is the bitush of surrounding light and inner light on one another, by which the masach of guf of the Partsuf purifies and becomes as zach, pure as the masach in Malchut Ovosh. This is considered ascending and mingling in the zivug, the upper zivug of Osh, along with the reshimot of ten sfirot of guf contained in it. Its two upper reshimot, called zachar and nekeva, male and female, generate two kinds of zivugim, couplings, in the Masach of Rosh. Through this hitkalelut, integration, the Masach and the Reshimot renew, until it becomes apparent that its root is from the Oviyut of Guf, except the last Prina, which disappears from them. They descend to the Guf once more, in its externality, to the place of the Chazeh, and the upper light expands in the Zivug Daka on this Masach, raising returning light from the Masach upward. It extends 10 Sfirot of Rosh, whose level reaches the Peh of the previous Partsuf. After that, Malchut expands from the Chazed downward with the returning light in her into 10 Sfirot of Guf, in Toch and Sof. These Rosh, Toch, Sof are considered an upshot, a sun to the former Pratsuf, clothing it from Peh of Rosh through its Siyum.
Is that clear, or do we need to read this again? Clear. Okay. More questions? Go ahead. Yes.
Can we read a question from something before when you couldn't speak, but maybe we should read it, do it, because there's this matter of rejection and clothing. He says that the measure of rejection and clothing that came from the power of the Masach and the Ten Sfirot of Rosh. I wanted to ask you, what does the Rosh do?
To the extent of rejection, you have the opportunity to clothe.
What's the role of the Rosh? Does it execute or just think?
Everything is clarified in the thought. There is nothing new in the Guf other than execution. What does it mean? It means that intention is everything.
So the intention is after that there's execution. What's the execution?
The desire, but he only calculates.
Okay, you give me a good answer. So he continues to continue here. He says there's two couplings, mati and not mati. I know there's a problem with that.
Forget
term,
about mati or lo mati.
It says by the renewal of the Masach and Reshimot, and it came from the Oviut of Guf. It also comes from the Rosh. So what's the story here?
From potential to practice, that I need to start actually working with my desires in practice. Now the question is, how do I calculate in Rosh such a calculation that later on in the Guf I won't have a shattering? How will I know what pleasures I'll get . I can say more or less, but in the goof, imagine I am facing the host. In front of me is a plate with a slice of bread and hummus. Pita with hummus. And the host is in front of me. This pita, there's 5 grams of pleasure in it. In hummus, there is 10 more grams of pleasure. But when I examine myself with respect to the host, how do I, through my enjoyment, give him pleasure, then calculate what pleasure am I giving him, the host, that I need to feel this pleasure, and upon that pleasure I need to calculate that it will be in order to bestow. Not that I'll enjoy it. I gave enjoyment to such a great person. What great pleasure I gave him. I'm so proud. This great pleasure I feel. I feel pleasure. It's not the pita and the hummus. It's great pleasure that's felt. How can I calculate this in the Rosh? It's even more complicated and unclear. How can I calculate this in the goof that I later on, that I then need to start receiving this pleasure in order to bestow? And I won't break, I won't shatter. I can't check the pleasure for the pita and hummus. I need to check the pleasure of the greatness of the host, how great he is in my eyes, to multiply these 15 grams of pleasure of pita and hummus to his greatness, which is 100 tons. So how do I then, now in the goof, when I receive in order to bestow, when I receive this pleasure specifically, that I enjoy mainly the greatness of the host, because all the light of Ensof that we work with is just a tiny spark, a small illumination. So all this light, where is it? Where's Naran Chai? All the Naran Chai is from this thin illumination multiplied by the greatness of the Creator. That equals to Ensof, infinity. It's not the upper light that comes to us in a way. It comes the upper light, the light of Ensof. No. Comes a spark, which is multiplied, enlarged by the greatness of the giver. So now the question is, how could I value the greatness of the giver through calculating? And even more so, won't that... when I fail in the toch later on, just like in the shattering of the vessels. So it's clear these things are only from experience. When we start working in a group, there we start feeling the new vessels internally, that with them we can approach this matter. This is something new. And it entirely dependent on the greatness of the giver. So from the greatness of the giver, I say, a condition, you give me strength. Where is the strength that I got from you? How do I arrange this strength upon the pleasure? that according to the forces that I got from you, I'm allowed to open your greatness in my eyes, otherwise I'll enjoy from you. Who am I dealing with? And so on and so forth. But we shouldn't get into this all in one go, it's too much. Yes.
The Rosh that calculates the work towards the Great One, why doesn't it cancel the previous Rosh? There was a Rosh above, the Malchut of Rosh, to take a decision for the clothing in the Toch. Now we said that there is a different kind of work in the Toch. There's work on the greatness.
Also in Rosh there's work on Gadlut.
But she's not aware of the pleasure that she's...
It's very well aware. In the Rosh there has to be a precise calculation on the Toch and on the Sof.
The Rosh that's in the Toch.
There is no Rosh in the Toch.
What works to calculate the pleasure from the greatness of the giver, where is that Rosh?
That's the Rosh of the Pertzuf. Above them all.
So why in the Toch, the work in the Toch, where it's mutual, why is there a fear of failure? Why is there fear there?
It's in the case of the shattering of the vessels. In the Rosh, there was the right calculation, but it couldn't take all the conditions from the Toch there, because there was a different factor. There was Nehi De'ak in the world of Nikudim. That's why they shattered, like in the sin of the tree of knowledge. No one knew that there'll be a snake in the apple, that there'll be an addition. From the addition, the Bechina Dalet awakens. No one knew that. That's why it's considered that it came to him that he came to him without that intention. He didn't come to make the sin. When he got this great pleasure from the greatness of the Creator, then he said, no, I can't face it anymore. So that too is forced. It's not that he sinned. We call it a sin, but he crossed this limit not due to his fault.
So why isn't there a complete confidence that you can fail?
So you'll have fear of and connection to the Creator.
Who's calculating that? Who's working with the
Masach de Rosh? That before all that is fear, awe. Am I truly in a state that I can bestow upon the Creator with full confidence? 100%. That's the concern. If you have such a concern, then you're certain, then you're definitely bestowing.
How if I have this kind of concern, the Rosh decides if it stays my Rosh?
The Creator takes care of it, but it's enough. We're not going to do all the wisdom of Kabbalah in one lesson. I don't know what's happening today. Go on. No, I didn't want to... There are portions you need, like to a baby, you know. You give a little 20 grams, 30 grams, 40. You can't. You'll see what confusions you'll have. Go on.
Item 11.
Yep.
Thus, there are 14 operations before us. 1. The bitush, beating of the surrounding light in the inner light. 2. The purification of the masach. 3. The integration of the masach in the reshimot of the 10 sefirot of guf. 4. Two upper reshimot, zachar and nekeva. 5. Two kinds of zivugim in the masach of Rosh. 6. Renewal of the oviyut in the masach and the reshimot. 7. The manifestation of the oviyut of guf in them. 8. the concealment of the Reshimo of the last Prina in them. 9. Their exit from the Rosh. 10. Their arrival at the externality of the goof of the previous potsuf in the place of the chazeh. 11. Zivug de'aka'a, performed on the masach in the place of the chazeh, extending 10 sfirot
of the previous potsuf,
extending 10 sfirot of Rosh.
Meaning, don't think that the zivug de'aka'a was performed in the chazeh. That's with respect to the chazeh of the previous partzuf.
12. The expansion of the malchut of Rosh from the chazeh down to prinat guf in toch and sof. 13. Clothing the previous partzuf. 14. Its level begins from the peh of the previous partzuf.
Well, of course, we can write here not 14, you can write here thousands and thousands, and there are actions here in between. But he's counting the main things. And later on he tries to interpret them. But we're already coming to conclusion of the lesson, unfortunately. And let's sing a song. Where's our Mironi?
Oh, as to him, Litpaler.
Ah, he has some back problem. Okay, we need to pray for him. He has friends with him at home, that's good. Watching the lesson together with him, that's good. Good. Okay.
As. נתקדם לשיעור הבא.
So let's move on to the next lesson.
Moving on to the next.